Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
As you heard in the news, Navy poised to pull the upset over Army in Landover, Maryland today. 28-13, Army the ball midway through the fourth quarter. Quick update, FCS. I know there's a lot of kids that go to South Dakota State, North Dakota State in these parts, and they're all winning. Invermillion, late four, South Dakota leading UC Davis, 35-21, FCS quarterfinals. North Dakota State leading Mercer in the fourth, 24-7 in Fargo. It's a final in Brookings. South Dakota State rolls over Incarnate Word, 55-14 on Friday. Montana State beat Idaho, 52-19. Closer to home, D2 playoffs, number one overall, Valdosta State beat Minnesota State, 35-21. D3 quarterfinals in Pennsylvania. Susquehanna beat Bethel by a score of 24-21. Another big story in sports that broke is there may be a suitor for the Minnesota Twins. And Dan Hayes joins us from The Athletic. Dan, it's been a while. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and it sounds as though that part owners of the Phoenix Suns, billionaires in their own right, may be interested in acquiring the Twins.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, at this point, a billionaire is pretty much required because I think, you know, it's going to probably cost them about 1.5 to 1, somewhere in that range, 1.4 to 1.7 range. Justin Ishbia is the control partner of this group. His brother Matt is the control partner of the Phoenix Suns, and he is also a minority owner of the Phoenix Suns. Along with them, they also own the Phoenix Mercury, and they also own and Justin owns a minority stake in the Nashville soccer club as well from MLS. So, it's actually a really interesting name. This is a family that's been looking to get into baseball for a while. I know the Arizona Diamondbacks, they wanted a minority stake there. There was talk about potentially the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox, you know, maybe up for sale, but maybe not. That might have just been Jerry Reinsdorf bluffing. The Twins definitely are up for sale, and they're an attractive club for people outside looking in to get into. Yesterday, Justin Ishbia's people confirmed what we'd been tracking for most of the week, and that's that he's interested. And, honestly, I think that's a a good thing for Twins fans to hear. His brother bought the Phoenix Suns in 2022 and got approved 3 months later, and 3 days after he got approved, he's the one that said, let's do the Kevin Durant trade. You know, it's been sort of on hold the entire time, and he green-lighted it. And Phoenix Suns have a $216 million payroll, and I believe that's the highest in the NBA. So the idea with someone with big pockets is coming would be probably a world that Twins fans are not really accustomed to.
Yeah, and considering what the big names are signing for, the latest contract, Juan Soto and the New York Mets, good player. Is he a top five guy in the big leagues? Maybe a top 10 guy. I think a lot of people would agree on that. $765 million, the price of pitching, et cetera. I mean, it's crazy the money being given to the elite players.
Yeah, no, I would say Juan Soto is absolutely a top five, though. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 26 now. He's already got 200 home runs. He's been to the World Series a couple times, won one. The fact that he's 26 now, you know, he's got a long career left ahead of him. This is not the kind of money that you'll see often just because, look, Aaron Judge was farther down the road. He was older when he signed his deal a couple years ago. That was $360 million. Shohei Ohtani is another one of those guys that's sort of a outlier, like the global star, and that was why his money was the way it was. And you know, it's funny with the way the deferred contracts go versus what paid up front. You know, Soto's is going to be the biggest for a while, I think. We were talking about this the other day. Who will come along and start their career early enough and to hit free agency and have a shot? Soto is going to be sort of the exception to the rule, but absolutely contracts are significantly out there. You need someone with bigger, you know, pocketbooks, and so this is an intriguing name without question. But, you know, I think I tweeted something about it yesterday, just to caution it with a grain of salt. You know, when I covered the Padres when they were up for sale in 2009 at the time, Thomas Toll, who was a big producer in the Batman movies that made, you know, a ton of money for Warner Brothers, wanted to buy the team, and he got Tony Gwynn on board and his group, and, you know, he never figured into the picture at all. So, you know, wanting to buy a team and then actually executing it, totally different worlds. But at the same time, I mean, it's just cool. I think this is a chance for Twins fans to dream because this team doesn't need a lot of investment right now. I mean, I feel like if this team had 25 more million more to spend, you know, that would put them right there in good contention. Maybe, you know, they don't have the stars per se that the Yankees do, but there's a lot of talent on this team right now, and it does not take a lot. Unfortunately, I think this ownership search will probably still take. It wouldn't be shocking to me if somebody brand new was in place by opening day, but of course, at that point, you've missed the off season. So I don't know how much impact he'll have on the 2025 season, but certainly bodes well for the future.
Dan Hayes joining us from The Athletic. He covers the Twins and joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And it really was, and I think caught a lot of people by surprise, when the Poled family made that announcement that they were pursuing a sale of the club. I mean, the other words used, but to sum it up, pursuing a sale. It still, in a way, is a bit surprising.
Well, yeah, and look, I know Joe Pollad went into this wanting to do this for a long time, and there's a lot of theories as to why. I know there's some the family's tied up in commercial real estate, but that's a lot of that's speculation. And we know the commercial real estate market is not great when you see all these buildings half empty in major cities and stuff like that. So, you know, it's possible that's part of what happened. I don't know if that's even truly the case as far as what the motivation is. But, I mean, look, this was the third longest ownership group in Major League Baseball right now. There are only two teams that have had owners in place for longer. As talking to some people involved with the sale process, usually families want to move on after a while. You have the family like the Steinbrenners where there's a couple. Would they go to a third generation? You look around sports, and the Mara family in New York is one of that has a third generation running it. But it doesn't usually pass along. And sometimes families have other interests. Maybe not everybody was interested in continuing to own a baseball team. So I don't, you know, we still really don't have a clear picture as to what the motivation is. But, you know, it's also been 40 years, and they stand to make a really nice profit because they bought this team for $44 million. And, you know, if they were able to get $1.5 billion, that's a nice return on investment. Obviously, a lot of money goes into it over time. But, you know, just depends if the right suitor comes along and is willing to pay the right price. And then Major League Baseball also has to approve that owner. I would think, based on the track record of this family, the Ishbias, owning the Suns already, you know, Justin Ishbia has been, you know, a major donor at his two alma maters, Vanderbilt and Michigan State, and has a healthy track record running teams. I would think he'd be, you know, somebody to be approved, a prime candidate to be approved. I think baseball would love to have another guy coming in and wanting to throw some money around. And I know the Twins and their fans would be. And honestly, this is kind of a perfect scenario if you got that, because this is a team that has shown that fans do attend. They've drawn 3 million fans three times since 1961. And, you know, there's only a certain amount of teams that have ever drawn 3 million. So the appetite is there. And I think, you know, man, if you threw 20, 30 million at a team that already had Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Royce Lewis, Pablo Lopez, the bullpen they have, man, that would be a lot of fun to see what could happen. So I think this fan base is hungry, and it's not like it's a division where you have to spend a ton of money. Look at the Cleveland Guardians are under $100 million. I think the second highest payroll in the division this year will be the Royals, and they're around $115 million. You don't really have to spend to compete here, and you have a shot very often. Like, the Twins have been in the playoffs four times in the last 8 years and have won the division 3-6. So, you know, you've got a good shot. You got a great stadium. You have a hungry fan base. I think it's really a good position to be in. And it's a strong team to sell, frankly, just because of those factors.
Yeah, you brought up Target Field being one of the positives, the large territory. Now, granted, it isn't the largest population base in Major League Baseball, but nevertheless, the club's been around. There is a tradition, and of course, Target Field. The cupboard isn't bare. There is talent. There is some young talent there. Maybe the biggest negative, Dan, and this is true for a lot of clubs, is the television money situation. And that is a gigantic unknown for many of the clubs.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, look at, I thought the same thing. I've been chasing this down for 2 years. You hear a lot of people in the industry say the money's there. I think there's a lot of optimism that baseball is going to get together a lot of its teams and package them together and get, you know, a big payday for teams. Scott Boras, talking to him about it at the GM meetings as far back as last year, November 2023, and again this year. Dave St. Peter, you know, he's bullish on the future of TV rights for baseball. And I think when you hear the president or outgoing president of a team that is in the thick of things with this being optimistic about the future of it, I think that says a whole lot. But, you know, when you look at it, it's funny because the Phoenix Suns just a year ago were having the same kind of issues with their regional TV that the Twins were, and they opted to go free on over the air in market. I believe they're on their ABC affiliate in Phoenix for free to fans. So I think I just don't know how much it's going to impact it. You know, talking to people who are in the know on selling the team, they did not. And this is people involved in the actual sale, not the Twins themselves, but the brokers. they thought that the TV situation would really not impact this, and baseball has had steady revenues. So it's been quiet as far as us hearing names. This is the first name, and I know that's probably made people think, oh, nothing's going on, but let's be honest. You don't really hear the names all that often until a couple months in. And we right now are just 2 months into the process. I was told back in October that we would start to see things pick up around the start of the new year. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. And the fact that the first name popped out now, and it's such an attractive name for Twins fans, that's probably a good sign. And I would think would indicate there will be at least a healthy market to attract buyers.
And by the way, unrelated to the Twins, the whole Timberwolves ownership situation is still in flux, and there is that. But, you know, certainly the Twins ownership situation, I know you'll continue to follow it. Dan, thanks for the update on that. I know it's been quiet as far as player movement goes. There was a Rule 5 player selected at the winter meetings, but that is not unexpected with the ownership situation, that there just haven't been a lot of roster moves.
Yeah, no. In fact, it's led to people outside the market speculating that the Twins might try to ship off a bunch of guys, and even the there had been New York speculation in particular from the New York Post, which frankly is one of those places that when they write something, you pay attention to it because Joel Sherman, and he's a good writer, but he had speculated a couple times that either the Yankees or the Mets, whoever lost out on Juan Soto, should look into Carlos Correa. And, so wrote about that a couple times this week, but that's not going to happen. I just don't see them trading their best player unless it's a trade that could improve their chances of winning next year. And I don't know what that would look like, to be honest. I don't know how you can trade your best player and get the other team to not only acquire the contract, which is 4 years and $136 million remaining. They have to go out and acquire that contract in whole because the Twins don't want to eat any of that money. And then get a player back that helps them too. And I just don't see that really being an option out there. I mean, I guess it's possible if a team is super desperate, but I don't know that they would be for a guy that has had plantar fasciitis each of the last 2 years. There's so many kind of factors in this that say this isn't happening, you know, along with the fact that basically everybody I talked to at the winter meetings with the Twins said there's not a world in which they could see it happening. So it's fun to kind of talk about and write about, but at the same time, it doesn't sound like it's an option at all.
Yeah, seems like stand pat until new owners take over and let them make some of the big decisions. Hey, Dan, always great. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Dan Hayes from The Athletic, covers the Twins and the very latest on the Twins ownership saga. It looks like things are really going to heat up early in the new year. And could a deal be done by opening day? Maybe. It is 5:23 here at News Talk 830 WCCO.